Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Small Data with T, where we are passionate about the power of small data in healthcare. I am your host, Tanasia Gonzalez, but you can call me T. Data has certainly changed the game in healthcare. Big data has blown the roof off, but small data, now that's the future. Small data allows us to dive deep into the key insights and take quick customized action to achieve phenomenal results in performance and quality improvement. Let's explore this today. Thanks so much for joining us. If you have any questions for me or any of my guests, feel free to reach out to me at tgonzalez@eima-inc.com. Enjoy the show. Let's go. Welcome to Let's Talk Small Data with T, where we explore the power of small data in healthcare. Today, I am so happy to introduce Michael McGowan, joining us from New Mexico. Michael is the founder and CEO of Opera Care LLC. It's one of the fastest growing technology firms in the home health industry. He is a nurse, which is near and dear to my heart. Many of you know why. And he's a leading home health regulatory expert. His company provides disruptive technology and processes that remove non-value-added time from the nurse's day. And there's one quote from his profile that I love. Nurses save lives and Opera Care saves nurses by replacing computer time with family time. I love that. I'm so excited to hear more about Michael as well as Opera Care and the work that they're doing. And I'm so happy to be able to share all of that with you today. So let's introduce Michael. Michael, welcome to Let's Talk Small Data with T. If you can go ahead and show your camera, that would be awesome. Hello. Hello. How are you?
Good morning, T. It's nice to meet you.
Good morning. It's nice to meet you again. You know, we had this nice, vibrant discussion when we first met, and I've really been looking forward to bringing you on the show and hearing more about Opera Care and Michael. So I guess it's a good place to start. You know, if you want to tell the folks a little bit about you, a little bit about your background, you know, what your passions are, and a little bit about Opera Care.
Sounds like fun. Well, yeah. I have an incredible passion for nurses, and I always felt that if I could give a nurse work-life balance and return the quality of life back to the home health nurses, that we'd have an amazing thing going. And that's starting to happen more and more, and it's starting to go viral. It's exciting. But as a nurse, I am very patient-oriented, but I'm realistic enough to know that if I don't have good data, I don't have proper revenue, and I can't control my costs, I cannot take good care of my patients.
Okay.
So Opera Care solves the majority of those problems by focusing on systems, software, and activities that change small data, which translates into large data changes.
Okay. Nice. And what would you say are the key issues that Opera Care is trying to solve? I remember we had some discussions specifically about that, but if you could maybe speak to that and maybe give a couple of examples, that would be helpful.
Okay. The typical home health nurse will go out and do an OASIS assessment, which is a pretty complex thing. And for the past 20 years, it's taken approximately 10 to 12 days to get that completed, the care planning done, and everything else. Mm-hmm. And that's because we've kind of gotten stuck in a rut. We're just doing what we've always done. We didn't know there was a way to do it better.
Right.
And we have taken that process and changed when things were done, not necessarily how they were done, but when they were done. Mm-hmm. And we've taken that 12-day process and reduced it down to 90 minutes. So the nurse no longer goes home and documents at 7, 8, or 9 o'clock at night while their kids are pulling on their shirt sleeve and their husbands are wanting their attention. Mm-hmm. They now go home and they play with their children instead of kicking them out of the house for a couple hours. And the agencies that they work for are much happier because the nurse, number one, is happy. But number two, all of the work is completed in a timely and much more accurate manner. Mm-hmm. And this is producing better patient outcomes, easier to measure, easier to identify, and it's dealing just crazy numbers in their revenue. It saves them tons of money.
Totally. Sounds like, I mean, I guess anything that you introduce that could remove that waste, so to speak, that non-value added time, documenting and doing things. And I remember you speaking to doing or managing the data as it happens, as opposed to afterwards, right? So
Right.
is that like the basic change in process here?
Well, we've moved the data analytics into the actual episode while the nurse is in the home with the patient. Instead of looking at the data 3 to 4 days later, we're looking at the data with the patient in the home and saying, is this right? Is this data correct? Can you get the patient up and walk them one more time just to make sure that this really is the case? And when you work on creating your data and then using your data instead of waiting 3 to 4 days later, dramatic changes happen.
Yeah, I mean it's better to have it happen as it's happening when it's fresh
Right.
and you can address it right on the spot.
Correct.
So the name of the talk today is Stuck in a Rut.
Oh,
Stuck in a rut, change is needed, you know. So
no.
where is the main change you think is needed? Is it more so in the mentality of the nurses or maybe the agencies or some other group within the plant, the chain.
Okay. The we've always done it this way. Mentality is incredibly powerful and it's incredibly prominent. And fear of change, the fear of change is just incredible. We run into people who will basically say, no, I'm not going to do this. That's the first group of people. There's another group of people who would rather stand in line for an amputation than have to go for a change. And people just hate change. And then there's a third group that just melts down and stops functioning altogether because they can't handle change. So when you're looking at changing your data and changing your systems and processes, the first stop is behavior modification and identifying your team member who's going to have challenges and then address those before those challenges present themselves.
Because you're giving them this powerful and great tool, but you have to have an appreciation for what the tool can help you do, right? In order to really embrace it and make it a part of your workflow for it to actually give you the benefit that it's built to do.
Correct. And nurses will, in theory, see that this is going to make their lives better, but it's new, it's different, and it's very scary. And overcoming that fear of change is just incredible. It's paralyzing in so many ways. And I think medical practitioners who are very set in their ways and who are always being forced with regulatory changes, they're resistive to change to begin with. So here's one more change. Oh my gosh. Really, people? And that's the hardest part is the change mentality. The rest is easy.
And also, like when you bring in technology disruption and digital transformation and disruption, that's a lot of that happening on in healthcare. It could be kind of intimidating to folks who have been doing things one way, like paper way, for so long, and they've developed these things that they feel work for them right now, and really not completely open to changing or trying something new. At least to say, okay, I'm going to do a quick test. I'm going to do this new thing on this subset, you know, of patients or activities and compare old way versus new way.
Even the age groups, we have a group of people who are technology challenged, and that's okay, that's not a problem. And they love this because we're removing the technology from their hands and doing the work for them. There's another group who are very young who have no problems with technology. And then there's still another group that has to, again, wrap their mind around the change. But once they do, the changes we make in their outcomes data, the patient's quality data, the amount of service we provide during each visit, and the way to control care and deliver care gets better for the patient. And once they understand the patient is benefiting, generally they'll go.
Lean into it, right? I mean, just tracking the outcomes. It's that's as I'm talking to many folks, you know, that's one keyword that keeps coming up, you know, the outcomes. Another thing that keeps coming up is the mindset of folks needs to change. You know, digital transformation comes up a lot. And I was talking to a gentleman the other day called the Data Whisperer. His name is Scott Taylor, and he does a lot of he's an expert on making sure you have proper data management within your systems. And I was like, you know what? I understand that to be true. That's there isn't a lot of emphasis on that. He's like, I'm telling stories about data, data stories, but we need to tell the story differently, more so telling the story with data. We need to tell the story about data and make sure that we're, you know, making sure we have proper data management behind the scenes. So like doing, you know, applying some digital technology on top, we're able to make sure the computers are cleaning things up, validating behind the scenes before we in the front use it for what we need to do. So exactly. Opera Care, how exactly does that work? Is it like a tool that sits within the EMR, or is it like a separate system altogether that the nurses are entering data into? Or like, how exactly does it work? I just can't, I want a visual.
We're a third-party bolt-on.
Okay.
So we'll bolt on to any EHR, whether we integrate, sweep, or standalone, doesn't really matter.
Okay.
And Opera Care is a proactive data management system, meaning that when you enter in data based on 20 years of experience and over 100 million episodes, we pretty much know where you're going. And then we start to forecast where you're going and say, do you agree with this? Do you need to manipulate or amend this? And as such, it's a census management, patient management tool.
Nice. So it's got some predictive analytics capability.
Everything we do is predictive.
Yeah.
We don't have time to deal with reactive analytics anymore. We have to create our data in real time, refine it, because we're submitting it to CMS.
And okay.
What's so critical is that our data in 2022 is going to give us an 8% bonus in our revenue or an 8% penalty. 50% of 12,000 home health agencies will be penalized and 50% will be bonused. And then the next year that starts from scratch again. So it's a competition about who can get the best data, best cost of care. And those who are using the 20-year legacy practice of looking at what I do for benchmarking, creating an action plan, implementing it over 90 days, reevaluating it, they're a minimum of 6 months into making changes when changes need to be made within the next 20 minutes.
Right, right. Interesting, interesting. That's, do you have any examples, like success stories that you could share with us to kind of even more so, you know, show the example of the power of Opera Care, maybe with a current client or, you know, maybe a use case or a pilot or something that you all entered into, maybe for a specific population, you know, group of patients specifically, have you ever done that? Like, I'm assuming you are working with clients right now.
Oh yes, we've been doing this for 5 years now.
Yeah.
5 years now. The number one comment that we get, and we'll get the occasional email sent to my clinical ops person and I, is thank you for giving my life back to me.
Oh, wow.
My children love that I'm home now, and my husband loves that I'm home, or things like that. We get just off the cuff, and it's enough to bring a tear to your eye, because we came out here to change lives and change how medical care in the home has been delivered. That's the number one. The financial benefits and all of that are a peripheral, but again, and the patients. Now that we're also front loading the QA into the patient visit, the patient is now interacting with the QA team, and it gives a larger focus. It makes everything look more patient-centered, and the patients are actually really enjoying this.
Right.
Instead of one lone soldier showing up in the home with a computer and doing everything under the sun, now there's a team behind the soldier. And that ambassador of the home health agency is now bringing her or his team into the patient's home via telephone or video. And all of a sudden, the experience is dramatically changed for the patient. They feel more confident, comfortable. The patient family caregivers can be involved. They're able to establish what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it needs to be done. And before they leave the home, there's a plan that's put in place. Normally that took 5 to 7 days. Now it takes 5 to 7 minutes.
Nice. Let me ask you something. Does OperaCare also offer some technology advancement on tracking the results of that plan once we put it in place? And we say, okay,
Yes.
we've decided we're going to go with plan A for this patient versus plan B. I'm sure there are like several different things in there. Does OperaCare help with the tracking and the monitoring of that?
Tracks the outcomes and it actually tracks the cost of achieving those outcomes.
Okay.
So once our database is a little bit larger with a client, if we get a new client, it's hard to do immediately, but once their database grows a little bit, we can compare four nurses taking care of four CHF patients and four different costs, and then we start to weed out the variables that it basically
Okay.
affected those costs. Are these necessary variables? Are they
Yeah.
unnecessary variables? If they're required, we'll keep them. If they're not, we'll cut them out.
Okay. Nice. So you said the patients love it. Where is that coming
They
from? Is
do.
that coming from the patients communicating with the nurses? Like, what is this thing you're doing? This is so quick and sounds so tailored to me. Is that where it's coming from, or do you guys do like surveys of the patient?
Most of it is coming from the patient talking to the nurse and the home health agency at the same time. We
Okay.
don't really send out patient surveys, but
Yeah.
you can tell that the patient enjoys having a secondary point of contact and they
Okay.
have more security and a more empowered feeling about what they're doing.
Okay. Very nice. Sounds pretty cool.
That's
Yeah, no, it's great. It's sounds like it's something that is being recognized and going to like explode and gain more traction. Is there any examples of what you guys prepare that you could share with us? Maybe walk us through an example of something that will kind of exemplify a little bit more about what it does.
Do you want me to share the spreadsheet that I shared with you
Yes,
earlier?
please. Go ahead and share your screen. You should be able to.
I'm going to do the best I can with the Zoom here, so give me a second.
Okay.
There we go. Are
Okay, perfect.
you able to see that?
I am.
Okay, so I'm just going to look at a cost of care metric here.
Okay.
And what we have in the first two lines over here, if you can see my cursor floating around in a
I
crazy
can.
manner,
I
are
can.
what the current costs and the current capacities are. So a field clinician will begin three OASIS events per day,
Okay.
but they'll be incomplete. And then they get passed amongst a couple of other people, they go back and forth, and 2 to 3 to 4 days later, we're coming up with a cost of care between the QA department of $132 per OASIS. This
Okay.
is very time consuming. This is three OASIS, so you're looking at basically 3 1-hour visits plus
Okay.
travel time plus everything else. And then the nurse is documenting at 7, 8, 9, and 10 o'clock at night. And we actually see the timestamps in the electronic medical record
Oh,
that
boy.
show some nurses documenting up to midnight and starting their shifts at 7 o'clock in the morning the next morning. And that's not healthy.
No.
So, by controlling our data through the use of systems and processes, we're taking all of the same tasks that were completed here and front loading them into the visit. Not doing anything really different, we're doing the same thing, but we're reordering the time frame. And
Okay.
now the field clinician is able to complete 5 OASIS 3. Okay. And the OperaCare scribe, who's a nurse on the other end of the phone, is able to bring this into complete Medicare compliance within about 90 minutes, and the nurse goes home without any data. So, by reordering your systems, you get great increases in data, finances, outcomes, and what have you. And let's just take this down here to 4, and you'll see the numbers change. I increased my productivity, I reduced my costs. End of story. Okay, so we come back to the three visits. New cost versus old cost, simply by rearranging when you do your processes, which produce different outcomes, you produce different financial metrics, different outcome metrics. If you want to change your data, you must change your processes. If there's anything I want to drive home today, if you want to change your data, you have to look at your systems, your processes.
Definitely.
And many times it's not what you're doing, it's when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to use the data to drive the care that you're delivering, mm-hmm. your results have to be better instead of happenstance 3, 4, 5 days later, people talking about, well, I was there, you weren't, and the confrontational stuff that goes back and forth. So if you really, truly want to make a change in your data, simply look at your process.
Totally.
I had this dream. I knew I would change the process.
Michael, you were breaking up a little bit there. But
oops, sorry.
Okay, now I hear you.
Let me get off the screen share though.
Yeah, maybe that's what's doing it. But that's fascinating.
It's the bandwidth.
Yeah. Okay, so you're still sharing the screen, right? Because I could still see the spreadsheet. That's fascinating though. There we go.
Stop sharing.
Okay.
How do I do? Okay, did I stop?
Yes. All right, you're good now.
I'm not used to this Zoom thing. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. My internet has been a little quirky lately, so we'll just roll with it. But thank you so much for sharing that. That's really fascinating. I actually excuse me. Just got connected with the Feedback Research Institute. Now that's a group in Manhattan, a nonprofit organization, and we're developing an AI tool that will help them. They're focusing on the human services industry or organizations and nonprofit organizations, really those that are dealing with folks that are very challenged, you know, like the foster kids is so many in foster care and then not really connected to social workers properly because of these systems and processes that we have in place. Also the opioid addiction deaths that happen and the seriously mentally ill. I know I'm speaking to the choir. Yeah. So these folks are very passionate about using technology and AI to change the process or change how we're collecting when and how we're collecting data during the process of interacting with the patient, like real time rather than prospective behind the scenes. And the number one thing that they're highlighting is that we need to really take a hard look at the current processes that we have in place because they are not working for us. And they're a little bit of a mess.
I'm excited that you said that because our next project, I'm so excited you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Our next project is 24-hour monitoring of vital signs and life health indicators. And much like the Cleveland Clinic can predict a heart attack 4 to 5 hours before it happens, and they transition the patient in the ICU to have the heart attack or into the cath lab before the heart attack, we're now looking at data as it comes through, comparing it to historical data and using algorithms to say, there's a strong potential your diabetes is going to exacerbate in the next 2 to 5 days because of these factors and early intervention is provided.
Totally.
Proactive data is the key to managing things. Reactive data doesn't manage anything.
Yeah. However, it does give you a picture
of
what
page.
Happened. Yeah, it does give you a picture of what happened and what could happen, looking at all the different scenarios that you could use as part of that predictive analytics piece behind the scenes, but not really saying and driving like what you do now and next, but kind of like giving you a view into what has happened in the past and can really inform the predictive analytics, right? So like... So no, that's great. Yeah, no, this group, they are very passionate about, you know, AI and changing lives, basically. I mean, you're changing lives and saving lives. And that's why we all got into healthcare, right? Basically. And my passion is using data.
Nurses.
Huh?
Yeah. And saving nurses.
Oh, of course. Of course. Always. Very important. I mean, a lot of us need that help in saving, even if we're not nurses. You know, us healthcare administrators, we need a little bit of that too, because we're documenting stuff at 1 o'clock, you know, 12 o'clock at night because of our processes we have in place. But these nurses are saving lives, touching human lives, and we got to look out for them.
Let me throw a question at you. We're finding the transition from utilizing retroactive processes to utilizing proactive processes is incredibly foreign, and it almost instills a little bit of a fear into somebody. Are you seeing the same thing as we transition from old technology to new?
Yeah, it's intimidating to folks.
So that's that change behavior barrier then.
Yeah. Yeah, huge barrier. I'm seeing that. No, definitely. And actually, I'm getting a light bulb in my head. I've been thinking about like future episodes for the podcast to talk about specific things. That's one right there, because that's definitely across the board. Yeah.
I think the one thing that kills the entire data, the use of data, is we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
And the belief behind we've always done it this way is there's no other way that's better. Mm-hmm. Or that if there is another way, it's going to be much more complicated, complex, and it's going to be intrusive into my life.
Right.
Are you seeing that? That's what I'm running into.
Yeah. Yes. So I always lean into, okay, so we need to show them. No, that's not the case. And here's how much better off you could be if you just lean into this. Let me show you.
Right.
So, you know what, when you're approaching new clients, I'm pretty sure you have, here's the current system, here's the system, here is what you could look like, you know, if you take us on, kind of thing. So that would be, I would love to see that.
And at that point, when we're on a Zoom meeting and we've got 10 or 12 people, this is where you're at today. This is where you can be tomorrow. And this is what it takes. And when you get to this is what it takes, there's these huge eyeballs popping out in about five or six people's pictures on the Zoom meeting. And they're like, no, and it's like, okay, how do we overcome the fear?
Sounds expensive. Sounds like we're going to need more people than we actually have, more resources than we actually have. Sounds too complicated. No, cancel. Backing away.
The other objection is because we're front loading all of the quality assurance is oftentimes we'll replace 2 to 3 employees in the back office just by doing this. And that's a sacred cow as well. You can't displace my employees, but thank goodness the majority of those employees are nurses who now can become income generators instead of income consumers.
Yeah.
And again, we don't have too many nurses anymore. We need every nurse we have. Put them in the patient's home. Let them hold the hand, pat the back, rub the forehead.
Totally.
That's where the nurses belong, not back in administration.
You know, it was a long time where we had a lack of nurses, and there was a fear we were not going to have enough nurses. And, you know, this is great. I mean, we're tackling it from several different angles. Here's another angle. Now the work that you actually do will actually be what you're licensed for. And we're going to take advantage of you as a caregiver and what you got into this business to do, care for people.
And dovetailing into that, my nurse is an incredibly valuable resource. My nurse does not need to be typing on a computer. That's menial manual labor. My nurse is a solid medical professional who deserves somebody to do their paperwork for them so they can move to another patient. If we're going from 3 visits a day to 5 visits a day, my nursing shortage problem is self-resolving inside of my agency, because I'm now able to utilize the same resource, do more with it, and send them home with no documentation. That's a win-win. Convincing people of that is not easy, but it is a win-win.
Well, first of all, you're not transporting or accessing PHI and all that sensitive information outside of the space.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's solving a number of issues, right? Or touching a number of issues or areas. So, I mean,
nurses return their computers to the office because they simply don't need them anymore.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And they're happier and living more fulfilled lives. I mean, that's like good outcomes all around, not just for the patients, but the nurses themselves and their families, right?
Right.
The ripple effects.
The ripple effects are
ripple effects are tremendous.
And when you design a system, you need to look at designing a system like skipping a stone across a lake, that smooth, glassy lake. And every place that stone touches, it leaves a pool, but all of those connect at some point and make a streamlined process. And that's what we're doing, is we're eliminating the stuff that gets in the way.
I love that image. I'm now seeing that in my head, and I want to go find a picture of that. Put it on my screensaver. But Michael, this has been fabulous. You know, I love you to death. I love what you all are doing at Opera Care. Keep doing it. You know, I'm a small data lover, and we've been living in, you know, retrospective world and really pushing, you know, we're pulling the data out, learning from what happened and trying to move forward in the future. But I also am a lover of real time, do it now, do it better, digital transformation, basically driving quality improvement. And this certainly does that. So thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm really looking forward to having you back on the show to talk a little bit more, possibly about those specific key buzzwords I keep hearing about, like this barrier that people are, you know, being held up with, the fear of moving forward, because they are, you know, fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, you know, like the fear of something new that could change your life for the better, change the world. So
and
really, and really, I mean, we've got to do things better. Like there was a book called Better by Atul Gawande. He wrote a book, he was a surgeon, and he wrote Better, saying we have to do things better. It's basically looking at our processes and trying to change how we do things. This is how we do it. So thank you so much for going on this journey. Thank you for telling us all about Opera Care. I will definitely be following you, and I will stay in touch with you, definitely, and invite you back to join some of our roundtables, possibly. Yeah, definitely. So thank you so much, and hope to see you again on the show again soon. Thank you.
Have fun.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in today's session, talking with Michael from Opera Care. I do hope that you enjoyed our discussion about what Opera Care does and that it's saving the lives of nurses, so they can focus on what they are here to do, and that's to save the lives of their patients and work and improve the lives of their patients. And I love the work that Michael and the team are doing at Opera Care. Fabulous. And to subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or you can go to www.eima-inc.com and click on Let's Talk Small Data with T. Or you could send me an email at tgonzalez@eima-inc.com and ask us any questions or if you'd like to get connected to any of my guests. And this brings us to the end of the program. I do hope that you have a wonderful day. And remember, unleash the power of your small data and your data. It's your most valuable and strategic asset. See you next time. This episode is brought to you by Effective Information Management Assistance, specializing in healthcare small data and offering expertise that goes beyond technology. Visit www.eima-inc.com to learn more about Emma and the podcast, Let's Talk Small Data with T.